This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real with you for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody is going to push you out of bed to work out. Nobody is going to make you eat better. But here's the thing. Nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. 2.5 million people, each doing the Beachbody program that fits our own goals. Over 80 to choose from, some that take just 20 minutes a day. Nutrition plans that teach you how to eat healthy and still enjoy food. What we all have in common is we know it's not easy, so we help each other. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. That's why I'm inviting you to try our amazing Beachbody fitness and nutrition programs. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Live of That Meal Podcast. Hope you're doing well today. Joining me, as always, we've got Mickey Simpson, Mr. X-Fan on the board. Hello, mate.
Evening, fella. How you doing? You all right? Right microphone and everything else is working tonight, so we're getting in there. So, yeah.
I love your reaction every time I say X-Fan on the board. You have a little smirk to yourself every time I say it, so it's quite funny. At least you appreciate that one.
There we go, look. Just for you, look, I dug it out. I dug it out the other day, you see, look.
Oh, you did, yeah. Mr. Mickey Simpson. If you didn't know, he was Millwall fan on the boards. So, there we go, and then I'm sure Neil's got some flexing he can do with his journalist career, but we'll leave that for another time. Hello, Neil. How are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Hope you've all had a good week.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, number 15 weekend. In the best sport. Journalists in the country the last time there was a poll.
We're also joined by a special guest today, and that is Mill Fan TV, Mr. Kai Bennett. How are you doing, Kai? You alright?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming along, mate. Evening to the chat. Anyone in here, be sure to say hello. Barry, hope you're doing well, mate. Thanks for the comment on the intros as well. I think that's Mickey's magic there. So Mickey's gone to town on that one to work it out and sort that out. And then also Darren Swan, if you're in here now, guys, there's a few of you, it says in the top left corner, so be sure to say hello. Keith Balter, how you doing? Hope you're doing well, mate. But yeah, obviously today we're going to preview and also review in that sense, but review the game from Monday against Stoke, when Mill picked up another win to complete a decent Easter weekend at the time. Obviously 6 points out of six for Millwall, and then obviously this weekend coming into the game at 12:30 against Swansea City. Kai, we're going to come straight to you, mate. What did you make of the bank holiday weekend? What did you make of Monday's game more particularly, because we discussed that Friday's game previously, but what did you make of it as a whole, and obviously the win at Stoke on Monday?
A really good win, actually. I thought first half we were pretty, I thought we were off the pace. I think, you know, the same old comments every time, you know, we were missing that midfielder in the middle. You know, Jeb Wallace was playing behind Mason Bennett and Kenza Hoare, and I think we were just missing that person to sit in front of the defence. But we brought on Keithton Bell at half-time, and I thought he did very little wrong at all, if anything, really. I thought had a really good game. Yeah, it was a fantastic, well, you know, Jeb Wallace was so unselfish there to square it to Mason Bennett, and it wrapped off a good Easter for Millwall.
Definitely. I mean, Mason Bennett, I think he's, you know, found a rich vein of form, hasn't he, recently? So it helps us, you know, he's scoring goals. And I think in the week, I saw a few articles that came out, obviously, as we normally do. But Neil, I mean, I'll say hello to the chat actually before we do so, because there's a few more latecomers. So evening's Alan, hope you're doing well. Evening Kevin, evening Joe, Dave Taylor, and also evening's Oliver in the chat. I'll come to your question in a moment. But yeah, I mean, Neil, as for the strike partnership that we've got at the moment, Mason Bennett and Jed Wallace, I mean, I saw an article on News at the End the other day where Gary Rowett was talking about, you know, he's going to reconsider his, you know, maybe his thoughts for the window coming up in the summer, purely because of the form of the two up top. I mean, firstly, what's your thoughts on that? But also, you know, the win on Monday and how you feel in general about our form recently?
Yeah, well, not even I can really complain about the form of recent weeks, can I? Yeah, well, not even me and Mickey can argue on that. It's been back in top notch since Christmas. Been absolutely superb. I thought first half Stoke was pretty shit, wasn't it? Pretty forgettable. Second half, we deserved to win the game. Up top, I quite like Bennett and Jed Wallace, to be quite honest. Yeah, but it gives us something a little bit different. And I'd rather have them up there than that lazy bastard Sahor playing, to be quite frank, who is absolutely fucking bang average. And if we get him back next year, it'll be the biggest mistake we made. And the second biggest mistake, I think, will be abandoning plans to get in a goal scorer this year. The lack of a goal scorer has absolutely fucking murdered us this season. Drawn far too many games. If we'd have had a goal scorer and turned a few of those draws into wins and a few of those defeats into draws, we'd have definitely been up with Brentford and Swansea. No two ways about it.
Absolutely, mate. I think, you know, you look at the stats and they don't lie in this sense, really. You know, 14 wins, 16 draws, and that's by a clear country mile the most in the league. I think after that you've got 13, a couple of teams on 13. Brentford's obviously, Brentford have had their own troubles recently. They seem to be drawing as many games as us, but you know, I think you're right there, Neil, but it will be interesting what he does in the summer window. Mickey, obviously, what's your thoughts on Monday's win, and obviously, you know, that for the strike partnership and what Neil said there about strikers? I mean, same to the chat, anyone comment below your thoughts. Obviously, what would you do? Would you be looking for a new striker? Are you happy with the formation we're playing? And also, you know, what would you be looking to do in the summer if you'd rather it? Go on, Mickey.
I think, look, it is what it is, mate. We are what we are. You know, I think Sahor is what it is. I think, you know, realistically, he ain't played loads. He come back injured and then, he was off for a while. He's coming back, slowly finding himself. He's definitely valuable to us. He don't like running back, yeah, I understand that, but he's definitely there. And I think the new strike pairing is working. They're starting to cause problems. They're starting to have a go. And, you know, the longer they play together, potentially they might, well, gel together and we could end up getting a good few goals from both. But again, it's early days, but you can see what Gary's trying to do. But I do think we need to have a proven goal scorer in. But like I said before, are we going to spend the money on that one? I don't know.
It's funny, right? Because, and this is a criticism I've had, and then I've kind of got used to it because obviously the form's improved a lot recently and you can't have any reason to argue about it whatsoever. But I'm talking about the games, you know, where we're drawing against the likes of Wickham, Luton, you know, and we're losing to Barnsley. I mean, albeit Barnsley are quite, they've kicked up their form recently. But since we've gone to this formation, I'll come to you, kind of, this one of 5-3-2, because it's two strikers up top. And then obviously you've got three midfielders, five defenders. We've only lost three games, you know, and that's since the Nottingham Forest game where we lost 3-1. I think it was when Thompson got the consolation right at the death. And you can't moan about that. I think we're fourth in the form table since that point in the season as well. It's, yeah, we're not scoring goals, but we found a way to just go into these games and win them, haven't we? I mean, and, you know, that formation, albeit we criticise it and it might feel different if we was in the games and actually there in person, it's not going away, is it, if it's doing that kind of returns? You've got to say that.
No, definitely, I agree. I think since we've gone to a 5-3-2, we've just looked so much more like ourselves. You know, we in sort of over Christmas and New Year, we were starting to concede goals at, you know, just a bit more than we were with Gary Rowett before when Gary Rowett was in charge. So bringing that into a midfield three, which just I think just tightened up our defence as well as, you know, gave us a bit more creativity going forward. It gives Woods a bit more license to sit in and pass balls out wide and let the other two, Billy Mitchell, who's been brilliant since he's come in, and George Evans sort of bomb forward a bit more, and Woods has been able to be a bit more creative. Like, for example, that ball over the top from in the Preston game, to which Bennett, you know, wins the ball first. I don't believe he would have been able to do that had we been in a 5-2-3. I also think Jed and Bennett complement each other so well. Bennett, you know, he'll battle, and I saw a quote the other day from Rowett. He said that Bennett's like a battering ram. And Jed will run off him and look for three balls. So I think, yeah, since we've gone to this 5-3-2, it's been much, much better and much more like our old self.
I think, yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, you can't knock it. And it's what's impressive. You mentioned Billy Mitchell there. You know, he's come in and I think he's completed three 90-minute games and we won all three of them. So, you know, I wrapped him up in the pre-season, Mickey. And he said, like, you know, Billy Mitchell's going to be the man that's going to come in and maybe cause some shocks. He was injured for a long time this season, but he's come in, mate, and he's hit the ground running, hasn't he? And you can see he's got a real bit of class about him.
He wants passion, doesn't he? He's a Millwall boy who don't want to give up his position. He wants to sit there and say, it's mine. And if you want it, you've got to be better than me. And that is what you want in a player. You want a player who's hungry to be on that field and doesn't want to sit on the bench and be a bench warmer and earn his money that way. He wants to be out there fighting as hard as he can. And the fact that he's, you know, he's a Millwall fan, he's a Millwall family, can't do him any harm. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's got to be something else for a lad to be a massive Millwall fan and then start playing and actually start gaining some form. I mean, we'll come back to what's his name question a bit later on, but, you know, that Oliver Smiley, is it Smiley or Smilly? He's right there. You know what I mean? We can't moan. We've had five key players out for months, yet we're ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we had a proven goal scorer or someone, you know, a couple of goal scorers who could do 20 goals a season, then yeah, we'd be, you know, we'd be up even higher. But, you know, if my nan had wheels, she'd be a fucking bike, wouldn't she? So
thanks for that. I was going to come to Neil actually on the question because it's a bit deviating, but, you know, I think Oliver wants us to answer this question and it was in the chat, so, you know, if anyone's got any questions, we will bring it up in here. Neil, he's saying, here we will not be selling Jed or Cooper. If you can get 15 million for the pair, would you sell to improve the team? Something we've discussed, I think, in previous shows before. So, Oliver, by all means, listen to it. But we'll just gloss over this quite quickly now. Would you sell the pair of them to reinvest in the squad? Or I feel like at this point, I thought in the past I'd sell them. But I think they're two players that I'd find impossible to replace for us at this level at the minute.
It's a difficult one. Yeah, but we've said quite a lot of times that Millwall have hung on to players for too long in the past. And I think the only way that you get ahead in this league is there's two ways. You either speculate to accumulate or you plough a load of money in. And I think speculation to accumulation, I probably would sell them, to be honest. If we could get 15, 20 million for those two players. I don't think we will because of the way the market is now. I think 18 months ago we would have done, we'd have probably got 20, 25 million for them. But it would allow us a lot more, it would allow us a lot more leeway to bring players in, but they are really key players. So you'd have to be really sure of what you were doing. I think it would be a gamble. But But would it mean you could bring better quality of players in? I don't know.
Well, that's it, though. You look at the league table.
It's a very good question. It's a very good question.
This is it. Because, like, the problem for me is this opens a question where we can debate for hours, because the question is not, would I sell them? The question is, I'd worry about, is who we replace them with. And with this new recruitment team that's headed up by our new director of football, I would worry personally what his line of attack will be. And then are we investing in the manager to then give his players in? So it's a big, it opens a big wheelbarrow of questions there, I feel like.
Who would you buy, though? Would you, I mean, because the problem is you're likely to sell two of those players, and would you make that investment in one proven striker, or would you invest it, knowing Millwall, they'd probably use that money to invest on four or five players?
Well, Mickey, this is it, though. So, like, if you look at the league table, for example, right, and this is the problem with the Championship, Norwich City, parachute payments, Watford, parachute payments, Brentford, speculates to accumulate, sell their players for 30, 60 million. They made 60 million in two players in the summer just gone. Swansea, parachute payments. Obviously, they only just came out of the Premier League a couple of seasons ago. Barnsley, new coach come in, give them a kick up the arse, and they've just kind of ran away with it. And then you go further down, Bournemouth, parachute payments. Cardiff, parachute payments. You know, even Middlesbrough are probably still getting some parachute payments because they're in the Premier League 2 or 3 years ago. So, like, there's a lot of money in the league for us that we can't compete with, which is why I feel like I'm well impressed with Millwall to be ninth place in the league table at the moment and potentially staring at two top 10 finishes back to back. You know, like, for that, you've got to put a pat on the shoulder for Gary Rowett for that, and also the whole club, really. But I'll read some more comments in here because obviously we've kind of deviated a little bit. Barry's mentioning the playoffs. It's the hope that kills him. We'll come on to that in a moment, obviously, when we're previewing the game tomorrow. Even to Josh, even from your car. I know I speak to you earlier, mate, and I know rather high as fucks because of Blackwall Tunnel, mate. So apologies for you there, mate, and hopefully you get
that makes sense. That makes perfect sense now, because the tunnel round my way, the tunnel's knackered. So round my way, there's loads of traffic here, and I wondered why. So
any deviation because of Blackwall Tunnel, yeah. Basically, Blackwall Tunnel's sodded, so everything else is sodded. So nice little comment here for you, Kai, from Joe Zampa. You're the little mill guru, mate. So we'll be testing your knowledge a bit more in a bit. Don't worry about that. A few more interesting comments. I mean, even to Gavin, I always wait for Gav to come in for this point, and that's the what we're drinking today chat. So I'm on the Tisky. Come on, boys, you got anything? I think Kyle will probably be on the fruit shoot, maybe, but
cast on the Capri Suns, isn't he?
So let's go to the chat. What are you on today? I'm on the Tiskies. I mean, gym's open Monday, so I've allowed myself a few days off before I go back on the health kick. So, you know, watch this space for that one. But, you know, it's that's my comment today.
There's another question. Where are we? Where Dave Taylor said, he's put it over two, but we'll put that one up there. His other question is obviously, his second part to that is in this league, but who's a proven goal scorer or a proven attacker in this league?
Well, Mickey, this is the question, and this is why I always feel a bit worried to sell your best players, right? Because you look at our squads and you see the strengths of it, you see the weaknesses, but our strengths ain't the way we play. Our strengths are our players. You can't take Wallace out and replace him with someone else and still have the same output. The problem, we get the output because Wallace is contributing it. It's not because we're playing an attacking style and then you can have me up front and I could score goals like Jed Wallace does. It's because Jed Wallace is there, we're scoring the goals. And I'd be worried then if we sold him, who would step into that void? Who would you get in? You're talking about players. You're not talking about the way the team plays. It's more so we rely on these players so much. And that's the problem I feel like we need to try and get away from. But, you know, I think Gavin's on the edge, Ringo. Obviously, everyone else, get your comments in. What are you drinking? Come on, let's be honest. It's Friday night. It's still kind of the feel-good factors around. Pubs are opening soon. But yeah, I mean, you're going to say something, Mickey, I feel like.
I know. It's only where I've just seen a thing there. Obviously, Josh is one of your pals. Why does he call you Gino?
All right, Gino. Good question. Don't know. I'm sure Josh can comment that.
As you're not going to tell us, Josh, can you tell us why you call him Gino, please?
I don't get it. I don't get what the joke is. I don't think he's calling me Gino. He might be calling someone else Gino in the call. You never know. But
Spock and Ryan Bean off from Barry.
And then the old-fashioned heads tonight from Mick M. I was going to mention Reading are losing 2-0, ain't they? So.
Yeah, 2-0.
Who's losing? Watford.
Reading are losing 2-0 and currently occupy sixth place in the league. So. Could be interesting if we win tomorrow, lads. Blackstuff Guinness from Adam Smith.
Well, that's get off this playoff thing. Yeah, there's too many games. There's too many points for us to make up. Yeah, well, let's get a bit real, yeah?
So what's going to be? Hang on. Just before you say that, what will be the forfeit then, Neil, if we do reach playoffs?
Straight down the blue.
I don't think the world is ready for that. I don't think that we're on for playoffs, but on that same level, I don't think you can ever, ever say never with the way this league is at the minute. If you're that confident,
I know something about football to take. To take the words of another fan channel, I know something about football. We ain't gonna make it.
The mere fact that you uttered those words, I want the forfeit now. What is the forfeit?
You know what? Like, I think also we shouldn't forget the playoffs. They're there as an incentive for the players to keep playing. Yeah. I think it's gone. Realistically, it was gone.
Yeah, of course.
Ten games ago, everyone knows this, right? However, with your form against the form we're in, and then we're playing the likes of Swansea, Brentford, Bournemouth, and Watford, who are all above us in the next four games, it's a nice incentive for the players to have, where you can go, look, you fucked up before in the season against the likes of Wickham, you lost points, you know, you cost the chance of an outside chance already. However, if we win the next four games, where are we going to be? We'll probably be 3 or 4 points off the playoffs. We're not going to win the next four games, by the way. And I don't for one second think we will win the next four games. But if we did...
But what happens if we did?
Kai, come on.
Mickey, the forfeit.
Kai.
Yeah,
Kai,
the forfeit will be...
Go on,
yeah,
Neil.
When we go to a curry house, I will eat chips with my curry.
No, that's not a forfeit. That's not...
Anyway.
You'll eat fucking chips anyway. Come on, eat chips anyway. But nice diversion. Okay, so yeah, those of you in the chat, if you want to think of a forfeit suitable for Neil, if we do go into the playoffs, then add your comments.
Anyway, let me stick it back on to
it's
football.
Quite safe. Yeah, but it's quite safe, so that's not worry about it, yeah?
I'm labelled quite positive amongst my friends, and also these two call me quite positive for a Millwall fan. But if there's someone I know that's more positive than me about Millwall, it's Mr. Kai beneath me here on the video chat. Kai, come on, tell me we're going to make the playoffs. Tell me how we're going to do it, and then how it's going to feel when we win at Wembley in May. Come on, talk to me.
Do you know what? Honestly, honestly, do you know what? While the points are, while you can still make the points up, and while it's still mathematically possible, there's always a chance. You know, I think, you know, Millwall, we always know that there's always a chance. There's always a chance, but it does seem quite a long way off. But I think while there's still a chance, we can still dream, and we need. It's a good incentive for the players to keep on going, because, you know, towards the end of the season, it can get a bit, if you're mid-table, it can get a bit boring, can't it? It's playing for nothing. It's good to have something to play for. And with Reading losing 2-0, you know, we win tomorrow and it could open it back up again. I'm not saying we're going to make them, but, you know, you've got to keep going until you can't possibly make them anymore.
So this is it though, isn't it? So Neil, and I feel like I'm eating a bit of humble pie here, where I was saying 6-7 games ago, play the youth, fuck it, the season's done. Now, it's not, the hope's not there, but it is a little bit there. It's nice to have something to play for, because we've gone into these games competitive, gone in to win them, and, you know, the form's there. Like, Neil, I'm not saying we're going to make the playoffs, but if we got 18 points from our next six games and finish on 76 points, I think 76 points might just make the playoffs, might make a sixth spot. You never know.
No, it's not. We are not going to make the playoffs. Let's get real. Yeah? Let's get absolutely real. Oh, fucking hell.
Well, in a main game. Hang on, look at this one. Just have a Sharapova.
The fattest Sharapova ever.
and kiss Omar. Well, that one.
Oh, God.
No, I think that's a forfeit for you. If we make playoffs...
I haven't even got a Tinder profile.
Exactly. This is what we're going to say. If you get playoffs, me and Omar will make you a Tinder profile.
Oh, God, there's a thought.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but considering that you can't spell...
I'll do the writing.
Omar will want to get his own back for plenty of things.
I mean, there's a few comments that come to mind to get my mind back, but you know, it's all right. We got some nice puns we can use for you, mate. Don't worry. I reckon we could get you some
horny football.
Because I reckon we can get you a first date. If we achieve that, then it's a good outcome.
Someone called Susan.
I love this positivity from OFC 1885. It's definitely not over with the form of teams above us and lots of teams above us playing each other. It's true, though.
It is true. It's not over until it's over. I mean, what is it?
The teams above us aren't in great form, are they? Let's face it. Swansea tomorrow. Brentford are choking 10 games early. Yeah, Bournemouth don't seem to want it. But
the problem is, it's just...
if there were 2 or 3 points between us and sixth place, I'd go along with you. But what is it, 6 points, something like that?
It's eight
That's
points.
That's two games
with too much.
Six left to play.
That's it. At this point of the season, this is the problem. There's not enough games to make the games up. If there was 8 games to go and it was 8 points, then I say, oh, you never know. It's just the fact that I reckon 74 points might get you the playoffs, might get you that sixth position. And then you look at the teams that are closer to that than us. I think Reading might win 3 games more. Do you know what I mean? Like, so this is it. Like, you look at the form of it and it's probably not possible, but it's nice to have a little bit of false hope. I mean, evening to Charlie. I saw your comment there. How you doing, mate? Hope you're well. So nice little forfeits there. You know, I you never know. If we do make the playoffs, I'd love to see
Dave Taylor summit, please. Yeah, go on. Can you have a photo?
Yeah, what's she
like, Dave? Yeah,
what's she like, Dave? Yeah, can you have a photo? I think Alan Smith said I could have his wife a few weeks ago. Yeah, no, we haven't seen the photographic evidence yet, have we? Of what she's team, like. Come on, boys.
The only team Charlie sees us beating is Watford. I think he means not beating is Watford because of the form. He says fancy us beating against the rest. Because I feel like the form of Watford, they're the form team in the league at the moment and have been since the turn of the year. Bournemouth have a game in hand against Huddersfield. Yeah, they do. This is it. I think if we had 63, 64 points at the moment, and like Neil said, we was in touching distance, then I would be a bit more hopeful going into this game. But yeah, I think I'm going to deviate the conversation and I'm going to ask everyone in the chat to let us know your player of the year. Who are you going to vote for in the player of the year that's come out from the club this year? We're going to discuss our selection of players and who we think will make the top three. I feel like for me, if it was for my vote personally, I'm probably going to go for Scott Malone just to be different. But my top three would be made of Scott Malone, Bielkowski, and either, if it was Leonard, then I would consider putting Leonard in if he was still fit, but he's not. So I'm probably going to go with, I'm going to go Jed Wallace because I think Wallace has turned it on recently for me. And I'm going to say that's my top three. Kai, who's your number one vote for player of the season? And who would be your top three on your shortlist if you were to predict the order?
It's not the full team though, is it? There's not every player in there. It's only, I don't know what criteria the club use now, but there's only certain ones in there.
Yeah, well, players that are, I guess, in the squad at the moment, ain't they, I guess, or playing as frequently as possible. But Kai, go on, who's your top three and who's your number one vote?
Funny enough, I was talking about this earlier. I was, I think number three would have to be probably Scott Malone. I think he's been brilliant this year. But ahead of him, just ahead of him, it has to be Bart in second. And for me, it's a bit of a different one, but my player of the season would have to be Sean Hutchinson. I think he's been so reliable. Obviously, really disappointing to see him out at the moment, and we don't know how long he's going to be out for, but I think he's been so reliable this year, hasn't missed a minute up until now, and he's a reason that we picked up our form, and his captaincy while Pierce is out is second to none. He's brilliant.
I love it. I mean, we've both gone for a defender to win the player of the year, and I feel like we're going to get a common theme with Mickey and Neil when we go for their selections, and the chat is backing up Bart Bielkowski to win it, to be the first goalkeeper since no goalkeeper's ever won the play. We've done the stat earlier. Go on, Neil. I'm going to ask you your top three, and you're going to give us some stats about player of the year and who's won what and who's done it. Who's also won it twice in a row in the past? Or Neil, should we ask the chat? Who's won the player of the year twice in a row?
Yeah, they can
cheat.
Google it and find
Do
out.
Not cheat. Jesus. Do not cheat. Do not cheat. We'll let you know in
right.
10 minutes.
My player of the year will be Scott Malone. Second, Bart, I think he's been absolutely outstanding. And third, I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to go for Ryan Leonard, even though he hasn't played for a while. I thought he was absolutely fucking magnificent.
Yeah, he's not in that list anyway, so you wouldn't be able to vote for him.
Yeah, but they're a bunch of cunts. So, yeah, number one and two, I think, are sorted. And then it's free from about... anybody.
See, part of me,
every
year these votes come out, right? Every year I think, you know what, you should just really have a laugh of it and just vote for a protest, you know, just vote for someone just for a laugh, really. But
Is Bud Foster even on the list, Mickey?
Yeah, he is. I saw it earlier. Yeah, he is.
So Ryan Leonard is not on the list, but Bud Foster is. Is that what you're trying to tell me right now, mate?
Ryan Leonard is on the list.
I was going to be like, Leonard's played at least half the season, so he should be fitting the criteria.
Yeah, can we start a campaign? John Baddy Bavardson to win player of the year. Yeah, we're going to start a campaign.
It has to be. Daddy, it has to be, right, Daddy, Romeo, and
Troy Parra.
Frank Fielding.
Troy Parra's not on there. Frank Fielding. So yeah. Third place, Frank Fielding. Second place, Daddy. First place, Romeo.
So what's your top three, Mickey? I don't know if you said this.
Bart, I would do Bart first.
Yeah.
I'd probably do Malone second, Cooper, purely Cooper, just because of the sheer fucking determination and lionheart spirit he's had this season. Playing with a dislocated shoulder and popping it twice, I would seriously, that would be my third place. And yeah, definitely Bart to, it will be close between Bart and Scott Malone, but I would probably go Bart.
I'll come to the chat in a minute because there's some great shouts in there. Go on, Neil.
Mick, you know who we left out of our top three? Ryan Woods, our favourite mate. Ryan Woods has to be in second place.
Instead of Fielding.
Behind Bavardson.
So we forgot about
the ginger.
So Romeo,
ginger, didn't we there?
Romeo, Woods, and then Daddy. So Romeo, Woods, Daddy. That's the three.
I think Romeo's had an all right season, to be fair, but I wouldn't consider him in my top three. I know you're taking the piss there anyway, but...
Yeah, he's not in my top three either.
It's interesting, though, because aside from Neil mentioning Ryan Leonard, who's a midfielder, and then I've only got the one attacker in Jed Wallace. This season's not been one for the attackers, I know that. But this just shows, and like if you look through the catalogue of previous player of the seasons, I think we had a couple of guesses in there, I think, for who won it back-to-back. But I think I saw Joe mention Tony Warner. He hasn't actually won it back-to-back. But the winner of that one, who won it back-to-back, I'll give you a clue. Come on, I'll keep it going a little bit longer. It was the early 2000s. From 2000 to 2010, in that era, someone won it back-to-back. That's one clue. We'll give you another clue in a minute. It's no one cheat, but who's won it back-to-back?
Somebody also won it in the 70s back-to-back as well.
Yeah. Barry mentioned Teddy. Teddy didn't win it back to back, and also Jimmy Abdu didn't win it twice either, so no, Jimmy Abdu is not one of them. But yeah, people shouts for player of the season. So we've got Bart all day here from Dave Taylor. Gavin's top three was Bart, Malone and Jeds. I imagine in that order, I could be wrong. MFC 1885 voted for Hutch, but could have been Malone or Leonard's. Bart no arguments from Barry. Josh went with Troy Parrott. That's purely because I know Josh has got a soft spot for Spurs. So,
strikers who can't score. I know.
Joe's top three. He's got Malone, Hutchinson, and Jed Wallace. I think we've done Leonard, Hutchinson, Cooper not far behind in Gavin's shortlist. Mick M's gone for Bart, Malone, Coops. Malone, Hutchinson, and Bart from Darren Swan. And then we've got the joke.
It's a recurring theme here, isn't it? I think there's four or five players that can possibly win it. Yeah, there are four or five players that can possibly win it. And I think it's, just what you like, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people saying about Hutch being, in there is a good shout. I think Hutch is a reliable head, isn't he? You can't knock him for it. But I just feel like I'm impressed with Malone because Malone's come in when I weren't sure what to expect from him this season, to be honest. And then he's come in and made that left-back position his own, really. And that's why Murray Wallace can't get in at left wing-back anymore. I know he's not a natural left wing-back anyway, but Malone's form has been so impressive. And, I think he's just gone from strength to strength for that. Are we any answers yet come through? Yeah, here we go. We've got the right answer from Richard Lacey, the Peckham Beckham. Yeah, it was Darren Ward's. And it was a 2002, 2003 and 2003, 2004, Neil? Or was it? No, it was 2003, 2004, 2005.
2005.
So the year we got to the FA Cup final and the year we got to the UEFA qualifying stage, that Darren Ward won it twice in a row.
So, Richard, can you get who the other player was then from the 70s who won it twice as well? See if you can get it and win a prize.
Surprisingly, Neil Harris's name's cropped up a couple of times, right? But he only ever won the award once.
We were surprised.
In 1999.
Yeah.
In 1999.
before the season that we actually got promoted, where Matt Lawrence won it in the Division Div 2 season, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, just shows like we love a defender at Millwall. We've always loved a defender or a goalkeeper. So,
yeah, but that's because they're generally that, right? Over.
Picture this. You're fully immersed in your podcast because in the back of your mind, you're not trying to recall when that deadline was supposed to be or stressing to keep everyone updated on next steps. Meet Monday.com, a work management platform that makes having peace of mind easy. With Monday.com, all your work lives in one centralized place. You can automate updates to keep team members up to speed and ensure nothing falls through the cracks, even while you're enjoying your favorite podcast. To start your 14-day free trial, go to Monday.com.
On August 25th,
I'm the most brutal, vicious, ruthless champion that ever been.
The most anticipated original series is here. You may know Tyson.
You're the heavyweight champion of the world, young, rich, and black.
But do you know Mike?
The minute you get too big, they gotta cut you down.
Starring Trevante Rhodes.
I am Mike.
And Harvey Keitel.
They'll love you as much as they fear you.
Now I'm really gonna have some fun.
Mike, series premiere August 25th, only on Hulu.
Worked, didn't it? Let's face it. Yeah, no,
Kitch won it twice, but he didn't win it on the bounce, Rich. He won it twice, Rich, but he didn't win it on the bounce. Yep. We're on about people who won it two seasons on the bounce. There's only two players who have done that.
This one's a bit more obscure, though. Early 70s, I'll give you that clue.
The other clue is, unfortunately, he died last year.
And it's in the early 70s. He played for the club. So there you go. But yeah, I mean...
But he was a striker if somebody really wants to get it. Yeah, surprisingly, actually, Harry Cripps didn't ever win it. I think it was just before his time that it was introduced.
Joe's reply to me saying about defenders always win it is because we're always in the back foot. Fair comment.
Exactly. But
there's been seasons, though, where we've scored... the season we won the Div 2 title, like we just said there, Matt Lawrence wins the award for playing right back that season, but Neil Harris won the Golden Boot for the whole fucking country, didn't he? He scored 33 goals that season. Yeah. That's stupid. Neil Harris...
Yeah, Neil Harris was on fire. Records,
scored an unbelievable amount of goals. But he doesn't win player of the season that year. It just shows that we love a defender. And I feel like I've even fallen to that trap. I don't think I've ever voted for a tackle to win player of the season before. I know Morrison won it recently, and so did Lee Gregory. But aside from that, you don't see many attackers win the award at Millwall. And that's probably why Jed Wallace, even though he's been here for 5 years, will probably never win the awards, because we just love a defender and a goalkeeper, don't we?
But the way that we play, a striker will never win it again, will they?
Yeah, probably not.
No, incorrect.
No.
And no, incorrect. Try again.
If he gets it, I'll be impressed.
And by the way, Posse's still alive.
But I think we'll wrap this up and we'll come back to it. If someone gets, we'll give it 5 minutes before we comment who was the other one to win it back to back. But we should probably talk a bit about tomorrow's lunchtime kickoff on Sky. No, I follow commentary tomorrow to listen to. I mean, disappointing, I know. But we'll play 12:30 against Swansea City. Kai, what's your thoughts going into tomorrow's game? Swansea have lost their last four games. I think they failed to score in all four of them. They're probably going to win 5-0 tomorrow, I think, and probably beat us quite comfortably, ain't they?
I hope not, firstly. They're on a bad run, aren't they? And you have to feel that at some point they're going to break this bad run, just hopefully not tomorrow. We're going into the game full of confidence. We're going into the game at home, which we've been really, really good over recently, haven't we? We've started to pick up at home, which has been really good. I'm hoping we're going to edge it, but it all depends, I think, on his team selection. Will he bring Woods back in? I think he probably will. Will he drop Evans at the back and take Pierce out? Can Pierce go three times in a week or 6 days or so? There's a lot of questions that have to be asked, but it really depends what he plays. He plays a 5-3-2 and we play like we did second half against Stoke. We really bossed the game. We come out and we take the game to Swansea. I can't see any reason why we can't walk away with all 3 points.
I can't help but feel it's a natural position to change where Wallace goes up front in place of Sahor, and then Sahor comes out and Woods goes in. And then there you go. You've got your team selected already. I agree with you. I'd be interested to see if you make some more changes. I'd love to see Mahoney get given a go. I want to see Mahoney in the 10. I know it's we're in good form. You don't need to change the team for no reason. I understand that. And I imagine the only change will be Sahor out. And then for me, it'd be Woods in. I mean, I'm sure I'll come to Neil in a moment and get your thoughts, Neil, on that one. But firstly, obviously, what's your team? What kind of changes do you expect tomorrow? And also your thoughts ahead of the game against Swansea, a team out of form, but also Mahoney and the chance of him featuring one day for us.
Yeah, it's just for me. Sorry, I wasn't listening.
I was reading the chat.
I was reading the chat. Yeah, well, we all know that the ginger love child will come back in, don't we? He'll return like a bad smell, despite the fact that we look quite good without him in the second half on Monday. They haven't scored in four. Our record against them at home is shit. I think their last win was in March. I'd definitely take Zahor out. I'd be tempted to actually change it around a little bit and to play Mahoney instead of Zahor, play him in behind, go with a kind of diamond-y thing in midfield. As long as he doesn't put Woods in, yeah, well, let's face it, yeah, Woods has done about three things all season, and those were three decent passes, weren't they? But apart from that, absolutely. As long as,
Should we do a ding, 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 ding moment? Well done to Alan there. He's got it right.
You Googled that, Alan, didn't you? You Googled it, because there's no way that he... Yeah, well, even I'd forgotten that Alf would have won it twice, and I've written a fucking book on the club.
In the 72-73 season and 73-74 season, Alfred joins Darren Ward in that list of the only two players to win it back-to-back. I think it'll be Bart Percy that wins it this year, so he'll be the third player to do that, but we'll see. I want Malone personally, like we said. But yeah, back to the game. I mean, I like the idea of Mahoney coming in. I really do. And I think I agree with you there, Neil.
Yeah.
I think there could be a team where, you know, we see Evans drop to the back three, like Kai was saying there. And then you could have Evans, Cooper, and then obviously someone helped me. I can't remember the third central defender.
Murray.
Murray Wallace, thank you. I don't know why I had a brain fart there. And you could have Woods in the middle in this way with Woods and Mitchell. Yeah, had a brain fart. And then you could have Mahoney behind Wallace.
A brain fart? You know, it is a thing, a brain fart. Just about. Kai's learning all kinds of new things today. Much, much more than he'll ever learn at school, I tell you.
Do you know the thing is, yeah, Kai's family is probably sitting in the front room watching YouTube going, oh, look, he's doing a live stream. And once he comes off, they're going to go, you're not going on there again. That fella with the glasses, mate, he's got a potty mouth. What are you doing? Don't be going on there again. I don't want you hanging around with these retrobates. Do you know what I mean? These are disgraceful. Do you know what I mean? So
I feel like we're a fair representation of what Millwall's about, though. So, you know, let's just say, you know.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Let's talk a bit about Conor Mahoney then, because Gavin's made a comment here. Make or break time for Mahoney next season. I feel like it was make or break for Mahoney about 2 years ago, to be honest. I love Mahoney. I love what he offers and what you can see about him. Me personally, he doesn't do it enough for me. And it's a frustrating watch. I keep calling for him to come back in because we missed that creative player. And then he comes back in the side and he plays. And then I realise he's not the creative player we want. That's for me personally. I feel like he can be that missing void if he can string together 5, 6, 7, 8 games together towards the end of the season here. You know, you've got 6 games left. If he could put 6 cup final appearances in and show what he's really about, happy days. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, Mickey, Conor Mahoney, are we having him? What do you reckon?
I agree with you. I think we need to see him with some consistent game time under his belt to see what he can actually bring to the team. If as you said, you know, if he plays every game the rest of the season and then we can get an understanding, then yeah, great. But I think, you know, the problem is he's been out a while. It's, you know, if he can hit the games running, then great. If he can't, then, you know, I don't think we've got the games to be able to start playing with players. If, you know, if we want to finish as strong as possible, then, you know, we need to have the best players out there. To be fair, I'm not Wood's, you know, I'm one of Wood's biggest critics, but we did look like we missed him on Monday.
You really think that?
There was a piece of skill that Mahoney did, I think it was last Saturday, where he pulled a ball back and he switched feet. And I think a defender blocked a shot.
I think he got a shot away. You're right. Yeah, he kind of shimmied in the box. And
it was a great piece of skill. And I think he's at his best when he's driving at defences. the way we play, I'm not sure it will suit Conor Mahoney.
I think the problem is with Mahoney as well is, like, you know, he's not a grafter in that sense. And that's not, I don't think it's his role. So I shouldn't criticise him for it. But without the ball, he's not a player that will bust the gut to get back in position. And then maybe as well, I think this is kind of backs up the point what Joe said here. I don't think Mahoney will fit into our new system now, which is a shame. I mean, you know, Kaya, are you thinking Conor Mahoney could be, you know, that option that still could come in and, you know, grow on from strength to strength? Or what's your personal opinion on Mahoney?
I think he ended last season really strongly, and he started this season quite strongly as well, didn't he? Just before he got injured, he played really well against in the 2-0 win against Luton back in October. He scored a really good goal too, and he just looks like he started to come back into it. And I saw a comment actually a minute ago of Jed Bennett and Mahoney in behind. I think it was in behind Smith that game against. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. In behind Smith against Luton, it was, and they worked really, really well. So he was absolutely right to say they could be a real force, because I agree with that. I think they complement each other really well. It's just whether he can fit into this new system, as you were just saying, 5-3-2. It's whether he'll work back, because obviously the player that plays in behind Jed and Bennett would have to work back and help the midfield as well. So otherwise, there'll be lots of overload. So it's just whether he can work back and bust a gut to get back. And if he can, then I can't see why he can't play in that number 10.
I'd like to think he'd be relishing this opportunity. I think he'd think this position is made for him and he could really come into it and then, you know, kick on and maybe make it his own. But we'll have to wait and see. I think you have some comments here that from a few of the guys in the chat. Loaning from MFC 1885. Trouble is, to play him, you've got to drop Jed or Marlon from Richards. I think he probably means Mason Bennett, but I reckon I can see him potentially playing in a three instead of in the two up top, personally, but we'll have to wait and see. He's a bit lightweight from 6'9", same man. Luxury player who doesn't tackle. Gavin says,
But Jed Wallace is a luxury player who doesn't tackle.
Maybe. I think Wallace might put a tackle in. I think Wallace probably is more likely to put a tackle in. You know, and then also you've got, you know, Mahoney has some skill on his day, saying afterwards. But he also said he reminds him of Kyron Hall, if you remember Paris Kyron Hall. I think Kyron Hall was a bit of a nippy winger, wasn't he, that we signed from Wickham and didn't really kick off under Holloway, did he?
Yeah, so, played about a game and a half, didn't he,
he got
three
injured
seasons.
Straight away, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was the player that Hollowards reckoned was going to get us on the edge of our seats. And but he did get us on the edge of our seats when he got fucking carried off on his debut.
Yeah, agree. I mean, so Mickey, another issue we've got at the moment is I'm not actually seeing anything online about it, to be honest. It's Sean Hutchinson. I mean, I don't think he's rumoured to be back. I've not seen anything online. I've seen Matt Smith apparently ruled out for the rest of the season, which could be the end of his Mill career. Obviously, Hutchinson missing, you know, are we going to cope with that, do you reckon? How's that going to affect the team? Because obviously he's a player that gets on with his business, really, and doesn't really get recognised. But I feel like we'll miss him tomorrow, personally.
Yeah, I think we're missing tomorrow. He brings something to the club. He brings something to the team and the squad that you don't actually know you're missing it until he's not there, do you? He's definitely a key part of the team setup. Who's going to replace him? I don't know. What they're going to do about it tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, he is one of those, isn't he? That when he's not there, you do suddenly find out that you're missing him, because he is gung-ho. He just does a job. You put him on that side and you just leave him be, and he just does his job, doesn't he? 100% every day, 110%. That's what he does. Hopefully, you know, if it's an ankle injury or ligaments or anything else, it's not that bad and he's back, you know, before the end of the season. But again, I don't know.
I think he's actually said, I've seen an article that I found during the week, which I missed, but he's saying he's unlikely to play again this season. Doesn't actually detail the exact injury, but yeah, it's unfortunate, isn't it? You know, and Kai's kind of goes back to the point, I think one of the guys mentioned in the chat earlier, you know, when we get the team back, the likes of Kiftin Bell coming back into the fold, another player goes down with injury, doesn't it? It just seems to be a kind of season where, like, constant chop and change at the moment, isn't it?
It seems to be non-stop, isn't it? Yeah, it seems to be non-stop. It seems to be, you know, when we win games, there can never be sort of I think the only game that we won was Middlesbrough, actually, just before the international break. And, you know, other than that, there hasn't been any games where we've won. Everything's gone really, really well because someone's always gone off injured or something. And we've got Kiefton Bell, we've got, you know, Zahor, and we've got all the others back. You know, only Leonard's set to come back and Smith's out for the rest of the season. But, you know, it seems to be non-stop with them injuries, which is really frustrating.
Question here from MFC 885. Who will be captain if Pierce doesn't play tomorrow? who would you go for, guys? Who springs to mind? Neil, anyone? That, I mean, a comment from Joe is Jed will be captain. I'd imagine someone like Cooper might take the armband personally because it's just a central defender taking the armband. It's been here for a little while. What do you reckon, Neil?
I think the most important thing is that we don't play Pierce tomorrow. I'd be dead happy if Pierce isn't playing because Swansea have got one or two nippy players and they'll be thinking it's buffet time, won't they? Help themselves if he's playing. Captain could be almost anyone, really, couldn't it? Ryan Woods, probably, because it's his love child. But Jake Cooper, I think. Yeah, well, Jake Cooper's a good. Yeah, it's a good shout, I think.
I think Cooper's just. I think he's. I don't know if he's necessarily a leader. Wallace is probably more of a leader than Cooper. You know, you could say. And so I wouldn't. You know, it could be Wallace, but I've never seen Wallace take the armband in games before. To be honest, I think Cooper's took.
You
it
could
a couple
go
times.
For the other Wallace, actually, Murray
yeah.
Wallace.
Murray,
I
yeah.
I think he'd have a better shout than Jed Wallace out of the two Wallaces. I see that Richard said Captain Barr. I'm not a fan of goalkeepers being captains. They're too far away. They can't get in the ear of the referee, can they? And things like that. Not a fan of that.
I think Wallace is definitely a player that does get in the ear of the referee as well, to be fair. So you never know. Could be an interesting one. A lot of people agree, you know, probably Jed. Apparently, Coops isn't very vocal from MCN 85. Yeah, I mean, he leaves. He's the kind of player, I reckon, that leaves by performances.
Example. And, yeah.
He leaves by example, doesn't he? He leaves by the way he plays and, you know, he wins every header. He doesn't shirk a 50-50. He's that sort of leader instead of being a more vocal leader, I think. Gavin reckons Murray's a leader. Barry said Evans. I mean, Evans is a character that I think can be progressed into a leader in the squad. I think, you know, he's a bit early maybe to be kind of coming in. But I'm sure Jed was captain once, apparently, from Joe. And he asked Kai, come on, Kai, you're the guru. I think he's
here. I don't know. I can't remember him being captain, but he's not a bad shout because, you know, as he you can see he likes to keep his standards high. So he's never a bad shout, him or Coops for me tomorrow. Or maybe even Murray, as Neil said. No, as Neil said, it could go to anyone, couldn't it? But for me, it would probably be Cooper or Murray. I would get my pick.
So I'm looking forward to tomorrow's game. I think everyone is as well. I mean, if you're not ready, put your team in the comment section below. Just we'll read it out. I think, you know, we're expecting a similar team and a couple of changes, like we said. Woods probably to come back in. Evans drop out of the back. And obviously, then we'll have Jed up front. I wanted to do something a little bit different, which I'm not actually mentioning to the guys here. But, you know, we've got six games left. Oh, I want to ask you how many points we'll get from the next 18 available, to put you guys on the spot a little bit, you know. So we play.
You are a bit of a cunt, aren't you? Really, honestly.
you realise that Kai is only 16, yeah.
Yeah, but he has to learn these words. Well, I'm sure that he's learnt them down at Millwall since he's four.
It's fair point. It's fair point.
So come on, we've got Swansea at home tomorrow. We've got Brentford away next week. Bournemouth midweek after that in our rearranged game to catch up from COVID. Watford away after that. Bristol City at home and then Coventry away on the last game of the season. I can see Mickey and Neil both sitting there thinking, fuck's sake, why has he done this? Don't come to me first. So in that case...
I know what I've got.
Come on then, Mr. Next hand on the board. How many points are you getting from the 18 points?
I am going for between 12 and 14.
Bloody hell. All right. So 12 would mean 4 wins and 2 defeats. 14 would mean 4 wins, 2 draws and finish undefeated this season. Yeah? All right. Come on, give me one. Give me one answer.
What? 10.
10, yeah? Okay, 10 from Neil. Come on, Kai. How many points do we finish on this season?
I'll go 12.
12, okay.
12 more points.
12 is quite popular in... You're in the chat, isn't it?
So the good thing with 12 is it could be 4 wins and 2 defeats, or it could be 3 wins and 3 draws because we love a draw. It's not out of the. Let's be honest, we're probably going to draw. How many games are we going to draw in the next 6? Probably 5. But you know,
you've loaded on a minute, Omar. Yeah, well, you know, you put us all on the spot. How many points are we going
to
get?
I reckon we'll have 10, and I reckon we'll finish in 10th place. There you go.
Yeah, you can't copy me. You can't copy me.
Okay, 11. I reckon we'll finish. I think it's reasonable. I'd like to think that if we're not, you know, on the beach by the time we have the last two games of the season, I'd like to think we beat Bristol City. And I'd like to think we beat Coventry, although Coventry might have something to play for, which would be a tough game in that kind of scenario to have. And then after that, you know, I think we could beat them. Like, I reckon we can beat players, teams like Swansea tomorrow.
Four.
See, that's the Millwall I know.
Only at Millwall can somebody predict four draws, he's saying. Sorry, he's changed his mind there just before we all started to choke.
It's the Millwall I know. Yeah, you go. Not drawn any of our last eight. There you go. There's a stat from MC 1885. 10 points from Madden. I think Barry went 12 further up. Gavin is saying 9. If we win the next 9, we'll be up, apparently, Richard Lacey's saying, which is true. If we win the next 6 and then we win the playoffs, well, you know, you never know. I like Charlie's answer a bit more detailed here. Win against Swansea, draw against Brentford, win against Bournemouth, loss against Watford, win against Bristol City, draw against Coventry, 11 points overall.
Well, you said 11. Is that? Are you going with that, or would you change any of that around for your 11 points in over?
Well, I think we win tomorrow. I feel confident enough about tomorrow. I know Swansea's in a bit of a dip of form at the moment, and you know they're in a scenario where you know they've got obviously 4 defeats, looking to get out of it, and obviously still revive their chances of going up. But I think we win against them. I think Brentford's draw is a fair result. You know, we always seem to do well against Brentford because Brentford likes to pass it around a lot, and we like to sit deep. You know, and I think a draw against Brentford would be quite fitting. Mm. A win against Bournemouth's ambitious. I personally see us maybe drawing that game. A defeat against Watford's, I would agree with, and then win the last 2 games, and that's where I get my 11 points from. I think Watford is probably up and hosed and out there with Norwich, but you never know. I think one other thing I'm going to ask for. Here you go, lads. Another one I'm going to put you on the spot for. 1 second.
Here we go. Here we
go. Neil, give me a number between 1 and 40.
37.
Okay. There's 40 runners in the Grand National tomorrow, right? So number 37 is going to win for Neil. Kai, give me a number between 1 and 40.
19.
19. So 37 and 19. Mickey?
1 Where are we?
1 and 40. Come on, just give me a number.
Yeah, what's Ryan Woods' number?
I'm going to go 33.
33?
Yeah.
Okay. So 37, 19... 33, and I'm going to say 17. 1 of them 4 is going to win me some money tomorrow on the Grand National, I reckon, lads. What do you reckon? Anyone in the chat got any tips? Let me know.
Yeah, but I think Rory McIlroy's got more chance of winning the Masters than you have of winning the Grand National. And he's got no hopes at all.
Well, never say never.
Omar's done all right in the National. Omar does all right in horse racing.
Well, I do all right, but I normally rely on someone
asking us for random numbers.
Well, the National for me, right? A bit of fun.
What are the odds? Do you know what the odds are on those horses or not?
On them 4 horses, I can give you the odds right now. 1 second. This is great.
It's going to be this is going to be great TV, isn't it? yeah, they're going to be really long odds. Kai, do not bet, mate.
Well, while you're doing that, we talked about. What you call it, and
what you call it, mate?
Shut up a minute, for fuck's sake, you pair of cunts. Now, listen, notice I said pair there, Kai. I didn't include you in that in that bit. But, right, over the next few weeks, there will be a special auction prize to everyone who's watching this during a show over the next few weeks for a charity auction going to... Evelina Hospital or Demelza charity. There's something what I'm sorting out at the moment with a few bits and pieces, and I'll name the company what's given me the prizes and the player what's helped me out with them as well. But there's going to be a limited edition of 5 what are going to be auctioned off, only 5, and one of them we'll do on here. So over the next couple of weeks, we're putting up. It is going to be a one-off as such. There is only going to be 5 of them, and they will be worth having as long as everything what I'm planning with them works. And then, so either next week or the week after, I will announce a day, and then you lucky lot can get a chance to win it, but only if you put your hand in your pocket. So you don't need
That's wonderfully vague, Mick. That is wonderfully vague.
That's the way it is, I'm afraid. And if you don't like it, tough fucking shit. You need to tune in to get more information each week. I might even drip feed it, but no. Well, we decided that, you know what, we want to help benefit some local charities. We got some bits and pieces from last year what we couldn't necessarily do because of lockdown, but we've got some we've got a bundle of books what we were given by Michael Calvin, and I've managed to accumulate some bits and pieces and spoken to some companies who've given us some stuff, which I will get signed, and they will be limited edition. And we'll auction them off. We're, you know, look, we're not doing this for us. If we can use this platform to benefit some charities what are up against it as much as everybody is at the moment, and, you know, their local kids' hospitals, what kids' charities, what probably benefited a lot of our fans' base, kids and whatnot, then, you know what, fucking let's do it. I don't care.
Well said, Mickey. Well said, Ben. if you're interested in the odds and the four horses that you've got, number 37, I think, which is what Kai said, was 80-1. So that's the biggest of the odds.
Me.
80.
Yeah, that was you. Me, yeah.
So who was 19? Was it you, Kai? That was 19.
That was me. Yeah, that was me. Yeah.
So 19 is 18-1. So it's one of the favourites in the top six or seven. 40-1 is 33 from Mickey. And I've gone 17 because it's my birthday, and that's 66-1. So. Well, there's some fair selections there.
So you've got no fucking hopes on any of them, is what you're actually saying to us.
If you're into your horses, you'd know last week that at the Irish National, 150-1 winner won. So, you know, anything can happen in the Grand National. So who's to say?
Mate, your missus is going to batter you for betting on no hopers. Do you know?
Well, mate.
Missus is going to come round and she's going to absolutely fucking.
Well, she don't know.
Yeah, but it's only on YouTube now, isn't it? Christ almighty.
come on. One thing I haven't also asked you guys for is a score prediction for tomorrow. So, Kai, what's your score prediction for tomorrow's game? And, you know, what's your thoughts going into it, mate?
I'm going to go for 1-0. I think it's going to be a pretty tight game. It's one to allow confidence. But it'd be great if we can come out and sort of, you know, command ourselves from the start and get in their faces, and, you know, because obviously they're low on confidence, so if we can, you know, start quickly and nick an early goal, I think it could turn into a couple. But I can see it being a tense game. They'll try and stay in it as long as possible, but I think we're going to nick it 1-0 and go with Mason Bennett to get the goal.
1-0 Mason Bennett. Neil, what's your score prediction for tomorrow's game, mate?
Well, considering I think we've only ever beaten them twice at home, both times Neil Harris scored the winner, so that tells you how long ago that actually was. I'm going to go for, and I'm really bad at these, aren't I? I'm going to go for 2-2. I went 2-1 yesterday, but I've just seen how bad their form is. Yeah, 2-2.
Banana skin for Neil there.
But I do want us to win. Yeah, but they are a team who are in no form at all. Haven't scored in their last four. Yeah, you just know that they're going to get an early goal against us. You just know it. And I think last season, didn't one go in off somebody's bollock or something like that in the last minute? It was pretty fluky, wasn't it? Yeah, well, you know that you and Kyle tell me. But, mate... 2-2, and I don't want to be depressed for the rest of tomorrow because it is a stunning day for sport on TV, isn't it?
It is indeed. Mickey, come on, what's your score prediction tomorrow?
2-1, and I think Bennett and Jed are going to score. And if those of you are watching us on YouTube or whatnot, I don't know when it will go live, but if you look at the Swansea, there's a Swansea YouTube channel who wanted a couple of videos from us, and me and Neil sort of played a prank on them. So if you watch it and have a look and see what we did, and tell us next week, because I don't think the guy from Swansea has even picked it up yet. So it's quite comical. And I think we played blind.
Yeah, but let's admit, it wasn't a prank. We both fucked it up.
No, it's
a prank. But I just put it there. We both fucked it up. We both got it wrong. We both thought we were away.
I don't think the Swansea guy has even picked it up either. The Swansea guy hasn't even picked up the text me. So, yeah, we both said that we were going down to Swansea tomorrow to play the game. Completely fucking got it wrong. We turned it into
oblivious to the fact that we're actually at home.
We're at home. So yeah, it just it was a last minute, all of a sudden, get in touch. Can you send videos? I need them now. So we just knocked them up on our phone as such. But yeah, it's they'll be up live. Worst case scenario, make people check out our channel, I suppose, to see if we talk complete bollocks for an hour on this. But yeah, you know what? It is what it is. But no, I think we're 2-1. I think the confidence is there. 2-0, 2-1 will be mine. But I said on the video I did that it'll be 2-1. So that's what cool. I'm going for. What are you going for, Omar?
I will go 1-0. I'll agree with Kai, and I'll go Jed Wallace to score the goal and get his 10th goal of the season. I can't believe you both forgot one of Tom Bradshaw's goals this season in a 2-1 defeat at Swansea early in the season. So, you know, Tom Bradshaw scoring a goal in open play as well. You know, like, I don't know how anyone forgets that one.
Yeah, well, international in Wales.
Who's Tom Bradshaw? Exactly.
Yeah, who's Tom Bradshaw? Good question. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, what's our record like on Sky, though? When was last... I don't think our record is that... great live on Sky, is it?
Well, we played especially QPR, didn't at we? Home. Yeah, we played QPR on Sky and we drew, didn't we, early in the season?
Our record for controversy on Sky is quite high.
Yeah, what's the betting that they mention the Derby QPR fiascos?
What's the betting that tomorrow when there's a minute applause or a minute silence or 2 minutes silence for you know, Royal
Prince
Highness
Phil, yeah.
Prince Philip, that fucking Sky will play in booing or something. Do you know what I mean?
Rest in peace to Prince Philip as well, before us arrive. So, yeah, obviously thoughts with the Royal family. Should we end it here, guys? I think, you know, it's 1 minute past time. We've gone for an hour. Kai, as always, thank you for coming on today, mate. We really do appreciate it. If you haven't heard of Kai or seen before, check out Mill Fan TV on YouTube and at TV Mill on Twitter. Kai, thank you, mate.
And if you're
thank you very much for having me.
And if you're watching this on Kyle's channel, then we go live on Friday nights, 8 o'clock every week. And if you hit 500 views on Kyle's channel, then he can come back on next week.
But yeah, I think we're done. I think, as always, appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks for watching. Some great score predictions in there. You know, 2-0, 1-0. Positivity is all there. 3-3 from Alan as well. I feel like it's going to be a good game tomorrow. Hopefully we can get another win and just keep that little bit of false hope alive that you never know what could happen. And maybe we could see Neil streaking down the blue sooner rather than later. Thanks, guys. See you guys soon.
Thank Barbara you. Streisand.
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike says she is struggling with her place in the motorcycle community. Well, she says she hasn't peaked yet, but she's having a little epiphany, okay. Oh, that maybe life itself is the peak. Interesting. In my experience, I find that... Oh, so I just translate. Not allowed to have opinions. Got it.
Quote with Progressive and see if you could save with America's number one motorcycle insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.